So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests."
All right, a moment of prayer anyway, and we'll take it from there. Lord, we do commit this portion of time as we look at your word, and Lord, we're always eager to hear something that would encourage us, Lord, grant us a certain amount of wisdom, give us insight, a bit of direction, or simply feed us. Sometimes, Lord, we're just looking to know more and just to satisfy, Lord, our spiritual curiosity if the truth would be known. So our prayer is that in this familiar text, well, familiar to many, that there would be something that is fresh, as we always pray, something that would be relevant to us here and New Life and to those who choose to listen at another time. Lord, we acknowledge that only your Spirit can make that happen. And no matter how well prepared we are, if your Spirit is not on us and upon us in our listening and in our delivery of it, Lord, nothing of any significance happens. So we pray that your Spirit would anoint me and those who listen, and Lord, that it will be worth the time that we have all put in. To the honor and to the glory of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Title of my offering this morning is Suddenly. And it's not something that people would normally associate with Christmas. But in the Christmas story, suddenly appears several times. It is when life just goes on and on and on for centuries. And all of a sudden, without warning, God breaks through. And you have that moment of what they call suddenly. And after that suddenly, things change. And so, that's our theme and that's our topic. When I was preparing this 2 weeks ago, I was saying it's never too early to anticipate the birth of Jesus. 2 weeks later now, I'm still saying the same thing. And ultimately, those who follow Jesus, as part of the overall package of Christmas, there's the shopping, there's the anticipation of the spending time and eating lots of stuff and having fun and all that. And then in the midst of all that, there's something about anticipating the birth of Jesus. Or at least we make some attempt to do so, anyway. Would you agree? Some attempt, you know. There's some spiritual content for us in the Christmas season. So our text really is Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you can see where I got my title from. It said, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" And for many people, they will associate that with the hallelujah. What is it? Hallelujah chorus? Yeah. And all of that. That is not where I'm going. Because this is not the suddenly that I'm after. good though that is, and I'm not knocking on how if people go and they enjoy it and it fills their spirit, grand. But I'm looking for a bigger suddenly than that, to be honest with you. So, first thing I want to say is, in the Christian church, speaking generally, suddenly is not a concept that happens too often. It really isn't. It is not how churches work. Even the freest of them, suddenly is not in there too often. And if it suddenly is in there at all, it's with a small s. Would you agree? The reason for that is very simple, that the tried and tested way, which you know called best practice, is to plan thoughtfully and carefully and leave nothing to chance. But nobody planned Christmas. Nobody thought it through, and suddenly it actually happened because God simply showed up. So the tried and tested way, the way we even do Christmas and Christmas services and Christmas car services, is to plan thoughtfully and carefully and leave absolutely nothing to chance. Agreed? No, there's a very good reason for that, and I'm not knocking that. There's a very good reason why we don't do that. And simply this. The mindset is you can depend on suddenly. Would you agree? What does one do if you leave room for the unexpected and nothing happens? What do you do then? Say, Jesus, I have 10 minutes, therefore it's called the suddenly part, and that's your slot. And let's say we get him on a busy day, or he has a different plan, and he doesn't show up. And one of the reasons why we don't do the suddenly thing, or we're a bit nervous of it, is simply this. If you plan for the suddenly, and you build lads up, and it doesn't happen, you're going to look a right fool. And the last thing that anybody wants to do is to look a fool. Or to have people come in expecting something and nothing happens. You look bad and they're disappointed. Would you agree? So suddenly is replaced with this. Predictability. And that's what people go for. I want to know what to expect. I want no surprises. I want no sudden shocks. Well, you're the exception here because look at me, you know. I mean, but generally speaking, predictability. They want to be able to predict what happens and keep suddenly out of it. Is that all right? Try it and test it is the best way. And the majority of people are very happy with that. It's very comfortable. So predictability is the first thing you get. Unexpected surprises are non-existent. In most Christian gatherings, though we say the Lord is with us and he is by his Spirit, and we will read the scriptures, we'll do all that. But unexpected surprises are pretty much non-existent. Agreed? I think that's pretty much what it is. And what you're left with then, you know what you're left with? In my opinion, anyway. Spiritual anticipation, nil. Hardly anyone expects suddenly to happen. Although there is some kind of a divine breakthrough. And yet the Christmas story is all about suddenly. And often we're looking for the buzz, myself included, of the something of the flavor of the original Christmas story. But you can't have it without the suddenly. The problem is, you can control the suddenly, because that's God's department. And if it doesn't show up, you're in a heap of trouble. So let's have something ready as a backup plan in case he doesn't. And because he doesn't show up that way after often, actually, the best backup plan is the plan. And suddenly gets moved out. So back to our verse. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying. So this suddenly has many things about it, which I want to draw your attention to. The first one is simply this. It was an unexpected surprise. If you were to interview those shepherds outside Bethlehem, and asked him, are you expecting a mighty move of God? They would just think you'd hit the juice fairly early in the evening and that, you know, you need to go home and sleep it off. And if they were of a theological mindset, well, the Lord has not spoken for an awful long time. We are in this period of quietness, hundreds of years of it. We're not expecting anything. So they were in their normal work environment, and it was in their work environment, not in a church setting, that this actually broke through. Suddenly happened at their place of work. That's what happened. We're trying to make it happen in the council, but sure as that. Didn't happen there. I'm not saying the Spirit of God can be at it, and the Spirit of God can honor that. He does at times. There have been very good ones. But you don't get unexpected surprises unless there's a different version of silent night. So the first thing about it was an unexpected surprise. What other kind of surprise can you get? Second thing was a most unlikely location. Nobody expected a heavenly host to appear to a group of nobodies at night time in the middle of a field. The modern equivalent said to Andy would be like Nay Smart. We're up in Dublin and we're in a big church and nice candles and all that, and suddenly Jesus appears down blowing nays at the mount. And somewhere else like that, but this would be a modern equivalent. So it was an unexpected surprise. It was in the most unlikely location. The point I'm making is, Jesus can show up anywhere, anytime, and he often does. But often it is the most unlikely location, and indeed to the most unlikely people. The point I want to make about this is, it was a unique experience that these men had, and what they saw. But they got a glimpse into the heavenly host worshipping. No, they were terrified with one angel. They must have been absolutely petrified altogether when the whole choir showed up and they gave it willy, so to speak. So it was a unique experience. But it all happened with one word. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host. The suddenly belongs to God. And they can come when you least expect it, in the most unlikely location, and that experience that you could have of the thing of God or the experience of God could be a unique experience to you. And it may not be for anybody else. God can do that with people. He did that with this bunch of men. No, the question you're asking is, why didn't he appear to the religious elite? And I'm sure they had very good choirs and the best musicians. and give them a taste of the heavenly host, because they could get an idea of how worship is done in heaven. But he didn't. He gave it to men who were the least sophisticated, considered unreliable, dodgy character, and they get a blast of heaven. And it all begins with suddenly. So the question I'm asking myself is there room for the suddenly for me at Christmas? The problem with the suddenly is if there's room and nothing happens, you're going to end up with disappointment. So often what people do is, to avoid the low, we don't put in the spiritual certainly, just in case it doesn't show up. Does that make sense? Anyway, that's the unique experience, unlikely location, etc. Then we have, what they actually sang. Just got the first lyrics of it, the first line. I'm sure there was more, but that's what we have. And glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is from the NIV version that I have. This is the message they're singing. This is a kind of a singing text message. Kind of God's version of a WhatsApp in musical form. So they're saying something to the shepherds. And we're well familiar with it. So glory to God in the highest heaven. Well, they're praising God. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. You don't have to be a biblical genius to figure this out. First of all, there's glory. And these men saw something of the glory and the brilliance even of the angelic host. And those lads got a window into heaven like nobody else, maybe some people have seen. They saw something of the glory and the magnificence of God and what it meant on heaven, in heaven, that Jesus was coming to earth. That's the first thing. So there was glory. Second thing was, for earth, there was peace. You see that? On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So you have three things. You have glory, peace, and the last thing, you have favor. No, that's what's promised to earth. That was the end result of the suddenly. Does that make sense? That's the application of the suddenly. You may not get the hallelujah chorus, but the other things are actually possible. You may get a glimpse of the glory of God or an insight you haven't had before. Peace. Such an important thing. We all know what it's like to have inner turmoil. And what is it like to have peace while there's utter chaos around you? It's worth anything. If the world could bottle it and could capture it, it would be the most valuable product on this earth. So peace is what he promised, on whom his favors rest. It's not for everyone. But if you have peace, you have his favor. That's one of the ways you know that you're pleasing God, or that his favor is on you, is that you have a certain amount of peace. We think of peace as an absence of conflict within families that won't happen. Not until Jesus returns and you have a perfect family and a perfect earth. Until that, you're going to have turmoil. We think of peace as an absence of war. And that's all part of it. But the peace he's talking about here is peace between him and us. But it is his peace that rests upon us. One of the great problems we have at Christmas is restlessness afterwards and that emptiness. And that let down. that many, many people experience. I hope people have a great Christmas and have a great buzz. And I hope that any letdown will be of a minor significance. I hope you don't get let down till around Patrick's Day, in fairness. You can join me for that. But peace is something that he's promising it. And maybe it's peace to know that he knows what's going on, and even though he's not telling you what he's doing with it, in some way you have a peace about it. You can't explain it. But you know when you have it, and you know when you don't have it. So my point is, if you have peace, you have experienced something of the favor of God. It's very different from coming into a service and looking for a buzz. Because peace can stay with you. And it can do something for you inside that nothing else can do. It's never too early to anticipate the birth of Jesus, as I said. So what does anticipation look like? I'm almost finished. I'm a great man for anticipation, you know that. 2 months off of the birthday. I can get 2 months out of Christmas. Get 6 weeks out of Sligo Jazz, even just Billy up to it, you know, and a month afterwards. So anticipation is really important. Jesus and I have had different views and different conversations about anticipation. That's another sermon for another day. So what does anticipation look like for you coming up to Christmas? Now, I hope all your decorations, I hope you have a wonderful turkey, I hope it cooks well and all goes well, right? And that you get nice presents for a change. Something that you want, as opposed to opening it up and then being let down. Another pair of socks. I have only 85 already. And nice, lovely chocolates. I'm allergic to sugar. Nothing worse. I'd rather get knitting. But anyway, all that being said, what does anticipation look like for you, spiritually speaking, not putting any burden on you, just merely asking? Maybe you don't have any spiritual anticipation. But the Lord could show up unexpectedly. It could happen in the most unlikely way. And it could be a one-off, unique experience. No, I can't arrange that, you know that? That certainly is God's. It is his. Whether he'll do it now or not, I don't know. But I know if you're going to have any go at enjoying Christmas, suddenly has to be put into somewhere. Because it doesn't happen without suddenly. Otherwise, you just do the same thing over and over. And you notice, you keep dwelling the same thing over again. Eventually, it doesn't feed you. Have you noticed that? You kind of have soaked the life out of it. You know, unless you have tremendous brilliant insight and that you're shockingly holy and you can get great insight. Well, God bless you. We need to talk to you afterwards because we could do a bit of help. So what does anticipation look like? Well, could meeting God unexpectedly in unlikely places could be unique. But it could also be this. And this is what is really possible. It is that you may get a glimpse of the glory of God. I don't get it too often. I think I've only had a few experiences of where I saw the Lord working, kind of opened a window to me, just to make sense, for seconds. And I saw a situation that was horrendous and brought tremendous pain to some people on earth. And I saw how he turned it around and not alone brought good out of it, but brought brilliant good. And you just say, oh man, that is just amazing. Just amazing. Never have considered it. And you see something of his glory and his brilliance. It was a one-off experience. But glory is a possibility. But this is a real possibility. Peace. Because that's a promise that is given to us. He said, my peace I will leave with you. My peace I will give to you. Not as the world gives. So peace is something we can really anticipate. And it's a promise. And it's part of the Christmas promise. Maybe peace when we realize all the tinsel thing is not working. Or it's not fierce enough. Does that make sense? If you have the peace, then you know one thing. You have his favor. In your own words, you're giving the thumbs up. It doesn't mean to say you're perfect, but it means at least you have an in with him. Does that make sense? Because so many people struggle with that. Or we can rattle off the verses about once saved, always saved, about what Jesus has done for us. But internally and emotionally, we struggle with it at times. And one of the ways you know that you have favor is that you have peace. And that is what the angels sang about and told the lads. Glory in heaven, peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. You can anticipate some of those last three things in the bottom, but it's up to God to produce the certainty. Does that make sense? I can't work it for you. You cannot work it for me. All we can do, though, is we can at least anticipate. I know when you anticipate, you're opening yourself up, and no better man, to the possibility of tremendous joy and a complete and utter letdown, right? You know, it's like going to a football match. You could win or lose. Go home, absolutely, you know, just over the moon, are utterly gutters. The end in between. But this is what the Lord, as best I can understand, gave to me, to give to you, to give to me. Is there room for the suddenly in your life at this Christmas? What a prayer, and I'm finished. Lord, we do, of course, want to suddenly. Most of us do, anyway. Lord, we know the tried and trusted way, and Lord, there is comfort in it. We acknowledge that. There's safety in it. But often, Lord, it can be devoid of the suddenly, of where you're working in a very unusual way. And Lord, our prayer is that we wouldn't want to miss whatever you have for us. Lord, I pray that we would not be afraid if you choose to do that. Well, Lord, we would be afraid if you do choose to do it. But Lord, that the fear wouldn't destroy the moment if the moment comes to us. But Lord, one thing we can pray, and this is how we finish, Lord, that the peace on earth on whom your favor rests, Lord, we would like that. Lord, especially at this Christmas period. And I pray, Lord, for those who pray for peace, and especially for those who listen to us on the web. Lord, as they get the peace, that they will know that the heavenly host sang and said, peace on earth to those in whom his favor rests. So they will know that they have something of the favor of God on them and upon them, because his peace is resting on them. And that is to the glory of God. And all God's people said, all right.